Psalm 36 and verse 9, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Now, the verse begins with the word for, which takes us back to verse 8. And verse 8 begins with the word they. So we need to go back to verse 7 to get the thread of thought that leads us to the words of verse 9, which we are to consider together this evening. Now, in verse 7, David sings of the excellence of God's loving kindness. And because of that excellence, he says this: the children of men put their trust under the shadow of his wings. In other words, they trust in him as one who can protect them. And is that not something that is altogether appropriate to us as sinners in this world, fallen creatures, with all sorts of needs that we wouldn't have in a perfect world? Needs that we wouldn't have in, well, that Adam and Eve could not have before they fell. But you see, this is what is held out to us in our need, because God is excellent in showing loving kindness and showing mercy to sinners, that there is a place of refuge for us where we can go in our troubles, to go and find shelter where he is. The Lord is speaking to us, and he is showing Christ as one, and Christ was speaking of himself in that way, and speaking sadly of those who refuse to come and trust under the shadow of his wings. So, from there, thinking of those who trust under the shadow of Christ's wings, we can go to verse 8, that such people trusting in the Lord will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness, with the wonder of the blessings that they find in God's house, or we might just say where God is, and he makes them drink of the river of his pleasure, coming to them from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, because that is so, we are to consider this, that with him is the fountain of life. With the Lord, there is a fountain of life. A fountain is a source of water. So what we have here is Christ as a source of blessing. And you can see also that God is a source of blessing. And that may take us to the thought that we find in the chapter that we read together, Ephesians chapter 1, and seeing what Paul is saying at verse 3. Where he blesses God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, there's the fountain, the source of blessing. And we in our need are to go to him. There's a source of blessing here for us in our souls and in all our circumstances. There's a blessing for us in our souls, and that's particularly what is in Paul's mind here. But it's not just that. It's all our circumstances. You see, there's a source of blessing of every kind. Whatever our need, we are to trust under the shadow of Christ's wings. And if it's our circumstances that are a trouble to us, then we are to go and trust in that place of shelter. If it's our souls that are a trouble to us, we're to go to Christ. We're to go to God through Christ, who is the great intercessor before the throne. But perhaps we can trace that thought in connection with God, in connection with Christ, as a source of blessing a little further. Now, blessing sinners with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in union with Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. According as the Father has chosen sinners, Paul among them, Ephesian believers among them also, believers in all ages, likewise, they have been chosen in Christ. They have been chosen in union with Christ before the foundation of the world. Now you see, the love of God going out to sinners from its source in Christ, as the one who has procured all spiritual blessings in particular for them. It is to be traced back to an eternity without beginning. It's before the foundation of the world, before there was anything else in existence but God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nothing else. Nothing. Until there was a creation. But you see, it was all the purposes of God were in his mind then. And this great purpose to bestow blessings on sinners, that was in his mind. It was within the everlasting covenant, as you can trace these spiritual blessings back. The source of spiritual blessings in God for the sake of Christ. And these eternal purposes that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's so much in that. And if we can get a little sip as we consider these things together, if we can get a little sip of the blessedness that God has provided for sinners in Christ, then that's a great mercy. Yes, we should be looking for greater and greater blessings and greater manifestations of these blessings. And getting more and more into them and drawing more and more out of them and seeking for more and more of them. But you see, here is what we're told about. This great purpose for which Christ came into the world. It's part of his saving work, a great part of his saving work, that sinners should be holy. that Paul should be holy, that various believers in Ephesus then, in Paul's time, that they should be holy, that they should not be left in Satan's kingdom with evil hearts ruled by unbelief and nothing else. But going on, doing the devil's work, caught in Satan's snare, and continuing there and being perfectly content there. But you see, the Lord had this eternal purpose. That was the source of the blessedness. That it was in Ephesus, that was in Philippi, that was in Jerusalem for that matter, that has been in Inverness over the centuries now. And its source, oh, we're to go back to this, with thee is the fountain of life. Spiritual life, and you can take it in terms of the complete salvation that God has provided in Christ, that the source of it is in the eternal purposes and worked out in terms of the covenant of grace. With thee is the fountain of life. And you see, what Paul is saying here is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider, as we ought to consider, as we should think deeply of these things, what we should have in our minds is that we are to bless God for the greatness of the provision he has made. And not only that, but to bless God, not only that there's a fountain, but if the fountain, if the river of life flowing from that fountain has reached as far as we are, then how much we should bless God and bless Christ and bless the Holy Spirit for his work in our souls, if that is what is true of us. That we should be holy, that we should be without blame. And no doubt there is correspondence between these two things, holiness of heart and life, and therefore that the Lord is not blaming us for our sins, and yet, there are sins. But there's this too, that these sins are not imputed to those who are taking refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Their sin is not put to their account because it was put to the account of Christ. And what blessings there are, no doubt we could go on through the epistle to the Ephesians and pick out one blessing after another. But if we go on just a little just now and think of this, another blessing from the same source, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself for the sake of Christ. There's this blessing that those who believe in it are adopted into the Lord's family, and it's according to the good pleasure of his will, and it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, that acceptance, that's a great matter too. I suppose you could say that the smallest of God's blessings is a great matter. But that's not the smallest of God's blessings. To be accepted in Christ for the sake of what he has done, it's all flowing from this source, the eternal purpose of God in Christ, in covenant with Christ. And you have the source of it here in another sense. according to the eternal purposes of God, that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption. Christ paying the price for his people's sins, paying the price of the sin, for the sins of those who are to believe, who are to be adopted into God's family, and their sins to be forgiven, their sins altogether to be washed away. And oh, how much we should say in terms of all the provision that has been made, in terms of that redemption that Paul mentions, how great is the river that flows to sinners from the fountain of life, having its root, having its ultimate source in the eternal purposes of God himself. Yes. Now, it's for the sake of Christ, it's for the sake of the redemption that he has purchased. And we can put it in this way also, that Christ said, I am come that they might have life. I am come to redeem. I am come to suffer. I am come to take their place under the law. I am come to keep the law in their place as a substitute. I am come to suffer the penalty of the law. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, we're to be coming back and back to these thoughts in connection with Christ and the great and wonderful work that he did in this world, an awful work. In the sense that we have, if we look on the depths of his sufferings, to the extent we can see into that. But, you see, in terms of the life, in terms of him as a fountain of life, what a wonderful provision that is for needy sinners. The good shepherd, earning the right to be a shepherd and earning a right to have sheep, you see, through his death, through his sufferings, through the whole of his work as redeemer, and therefore a mediator still, standing between sinners and the God against whom they have sinned, and acting towards them as prophet and priest and king, ruling over them, teaching them. You can expand on that indefinitely. Yes. But you see, are we, here's the question, are we making use of this fountain, this overflowing fountain of spiritual blessings? Are we drawing from that fountain? Are we bending down, perhaps we could say it, taking a drink, even taking a sip of from the water of life that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb? Even if that is a picture of blessing in heaven, still, surely it's appropriate to take that picture and, so to speak, extend it into this world. But are we receiving out of that fountain of blessing? There were those who were accused of having forsaken the fountain of living waters and having hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What's the use of that? And what are these broken cisterns? Well, it's worldly things. Seeking satisfaction for one's soul in worldly things, and seeking salvation from a river of polluted water that flows out of our own heart, trying to earn salvation by what we do ourselves. Ah, sinner, go to the fountain of living water. And as you go, say, with thee is the fountain of life. Ask the Lord to give you a thirst for that for the water from that fount. Ask the Lord to make you in earnest, so that you might come to that fountain, that you would leave aside all other fountains, but the fountain of living waters. Yes, and is that not pretty universal today, that people have these broken cisterns that they think can give them satisfaction, but all the water runs out of a broken cistern. That's the thing. And that's how it will be sooner or later with those who have been seeking to slake their thirst at other fountains or going to other cisterns. And they find it doesn't take away their thirst. They're still looking for satisfaction, where no satisfaction can be found, where over them is written, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But how can we get away from that? How can we get away from the vanity of this world? Where can we get a fountain that is always running? A fountain that can satisfy our thirst? Oh, it's Christ. There's the fountain of living water. It's not stagnant water, but it's water that is bubbling up from down below. That's how it would be with a well. If you could say that well is living water, speaking in natural terms for a moment, but if it's not, it's either that or the water becomes stagnant. And that's a problem for going there for drinking water. And it's a problem, it's a huge problem for sinners to go to wells of stagnant water. Oh, will you not go to a well with living water, springing up into everlasting life? What a blessing, springing up to everlasting life. Life, yes. Put it another way. The fountain. You can think of the fountain here as the fountain that is opened for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain that is opened for washing. Now, I've been focusing somewhat on thirst, but you can think of a fountain and you go there for water to, at least you would in another age, go to a fountain or to a well, so you would have water to wash with. And that was what we were thinking of in Sabbath in connection with baptism, the water of baptism symbolizing cleansing. But there's a fountain of water. A fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. We might interpret the two distinct terms there, sin and uncleanness, as one pointing in the direction of guilt. And here is a fountain to wash away the guilt of the sinner. It's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. We're to say, with thee is the fountain of cleansing. In connection also with a fountain of life, because if the Lord gives life, he will give cleansing. Yes, a fountain opened for sin and a fountain opened for uncleanness. The same fountain, but cleansing in different ways. Because here is a spiritual picture, a fountain open for cleansing, a fountain open to cleanse the pollution that there is in the heart and in the life of a sinner. What a provision we have. Yes. What a provision is set before us. Whether you are saved or unsaved, you need this provision. And certainly if you have been changed, then you have been made awake to the need of cleansing, to the need of the fountain that has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. Yes, and the Saviour is calling to us. He is saying, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. So you are invited to come. No one has ever been turned away from this fountain. I'm sure that there were fountains or wells. And there was a fence put around them. And perhaps a padlock put in the gate. Nobody else is to get to this well. We're keeping it for ourselves. But what the Lord is saying is, come, come to the fountain. Come to the source of blessing. Come to Christ. For he is saying, I will give him that is athirst of the water of life freely. May the Lord bless his word to us.